Well, that was a powerful way to end our Q&A. Now, the lovely part about this format is now you get to ask the questions. So the way this is going to work, we have about 20 minutes. So begin to think about what questions you want to ask. And we have a mic here, and we have a mic down here. All right, down front.
Hi, my name is Selena. I extend my condolences again, Ms. Fulton. The question I have for you is, my brother also was a victim of gun violence in 2012. I have a mother that's still grieving. Is there any advice you can give me to help her, or is that something that she has to do on her own?
That's a good question. There are things that you can do as a daughter to help her. Just be there for her. When she wants to laugh, laugh. When she wants to cry, wipe her eyes. Don't tell her she shouldn't cry. Never tell her that her son is in a better place. We never want to hear that. You don't ever want to tell somebody that their loved one is in a better place. For some reason, we think that that's a spiritual thought, that they're in a better place because we know that they're in heaven. But at the same time, we want them here. And just be there as her shoulder. Just be there as her support. Try to get her to do as many things that she used to do in the past, whatever it was. I mean, you guys don't have beaches here. You're welcome to come to Miami. But if it's movies that she liked, try to take her to the movies. If it's shopping, try to take her shopping. Just try to get her in the habit of doing things that she used to like to do. Also, find an organization here that deals with grief and grief counseling. It didn't work for me at first because I felt like I went too early. And I never did anything but cry. And the man would sit there and he'd look at me and ask me certain questions. And I'd go, it was terrible. You know, I wasn't willing to talk about things at the time. So just try to find her a good one-on-one grief counselor or a group grief counselor. You can connect with some of these mothers that's here. They probably will be able to give you some local organizations that'll help you. But thank you for your question. Good luck with your mom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're gonna go over here. Ms. Fulton, I think she referenced it before, but we do have some guests here who are mothers who have lost children to gun violence.
Good evening. I'm Monica Houston, and I drove from Dayton, Ohio to see you today. I'm a high school teacher in a suburb of Dayton. Our schools are primarily African Americans. I teach 11th and 12th grade. And I struggle in prayer every day on how to reach our children, to let them know the hope and the opportunities that they have. And they don't see that. They just see the things on TV and the things, not even in the newspaper, because they don't, you know, do the online thing now. And I want to encourage them. I want to help them not to make better choices. And of course, I'm not saying your son made a poor choice. I just want them to use their opportunities. Do you have any suggestions?
One of the things that I would say is continue to be in their ear. Young people do things by repetition. So when they continue to hear, we might think it's going in one ear and out the other, but they actually are sponges and they actually listen to a lot of things. Another thing I would suggest you do is bring like a young person in, like Selma. You shouldn't have told me your name. bring a young person in because sometimes young people deal better with young people. You know, it's good for them to see a younger person that's doing things that's positive, that say, listen, I was in the same seat that you were in, and I was discouraged about getting my education and going to school, but this is what I did, and this is where I am now. So think about bringing a young person in to speak to them, to try to motivate them.
That's excellent, and I did want to comment. They hate me 9th and 10th grade, sometime 11th grade, and when they graduate, they're crying, we love you, we helped you. So it's repetition, because I'm the teacher that says, oh no, I'm not accepting mediocrity. I just want to get them before they do something that can't be changed.
Thank you for your input. Thank you for your question.
I was just curious, did anybody else come from outside the state? Can you raise your hand if you came from outside the state? Okay. I know people came from other parts of the state. We have someone from the Inkster area over here. And I don't know, anybody else come from other parts of the state to come? Okay, some hands over there. Okay, over here.
Good evening. My name is Josie Howard Wine, and I just rose to say to you that I was very, very, very impressed with the attitude of you and your ex-husband throughout the whole situation. I was very impressed that what came forth was unity. It did not come forth as a mom in one place and a dad in another place. But what I saw was unity together, and that was very complimentary.
Thank you for your comment.
Over here.
Hello, my name is Denise Davis, and I'd like to really say I feel for all you mothers. I really do. I have two grown sons, and I was a single mom, but I told them, you are not a statistic. And I brought them up to be good men, and I have to say they are, but I grieve with all of you. I really do. Even in that, I admire you, and I wanted to know the book. How can I get it?
It is in Barnes & Noble. It is on Amazon. You can go on Amazon and order it in Barnes & Noble. But I don't think they have any here. No, I'm coming back, though. I'm coming back.
Thank you.
Over here.
Hello. My name is Ashanti Jordan, and I'm a freshman at Western University. I came to ask you, how could we educate people about Black Lives Matter? Because sometimes it could be frustrating because they just do not understand. So how could we educate them without being hostile? Not necessarily violently hostile, but it gets into like heated arguments.
One of the things that, but well, you're not going to be able to force your thoughts in on anybody and force your issues. You just need to say whatever you're going to say. A lot of times people don't understand what Black Lives Matter means, and they don't understand what African Americans go through because they may not be an African American. So it's kind of hard for people to understand. But what you have to tell them, it's about being a human being. You know, a lot of people fight for human rights, and I fight for human rights. But at the same time, it's fighting for a human right, you know, the right to be a human being. You know, nobody deserves to be shot and killed. Nobody. Under any circumstances. I think that I can't even think of one reason right now that somebody should be shot and killed. I think our jail should be overpopulated. If somebody's doing something wrong, take them to jail. Let them go to jail. Why make the decision to shoot and kill them and they have no trial, or they don't have anything, no other recourse? So just have panels, and on those panels, you discuss the importance of Black Lives Matter, the importance of just lives, you know, period. You know, and it's not just African-American lives, it's other people that are in here. And so we all have to understand that we have to live together and just do your part. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Trinity Posey. I'm a sophomore in high school, and I go to predominantly white high school, and so I'd love to be an activist someday, and so I'm very vocal about my beliefs and things like that, and a lot of times my pro-black is considered anti-white, and a lot of times people would try to silence me kind of like that, and so I was wondering what advice you'd have to someone trying to speak out about the injustices of the world but constantly being silenced.
I think that you should always stand up for yourself and be who you are, but do it in a respectable manner. You know, I think the country saw me grieving, but I still did it in a respectable manner. You see, I don't think I had to revert to name calling and things like that, but they understood what I had to say, and they understood how I felt. And I think it goes much further, you know, if you do it in a respectable manner. Just be you and be who you are and continue to stand up. You'll find that other people respect that. You know, if you're just out yelling and screaming and trying to burn things down, people don't respect that, you know. So just be who you are, continue to speak out, and continue to do it in a respectable manner. And form a group, have a meeting, discuss issues, continue to do those things, and you'll make it. Thank you.
Thank you.
The young lady over here.
Hi, I'm Daphne Amon, and I'm 13 years old. And the community and school that I go to is very conservative. I would say that from the kids in my school and my grade, around 95% of them are strong supporters of our current president. And it's really hard
for me. I'm sorry to hear that, but.
And there have been a couple times when I have come out as saying that I don't support him and that I'm actually, you know, a Muslim. And I have I started to face verbal harassment. I've been called a terrorist. I've been called like, all these things. I'll be like, oh, you're going to blow up the school. And it's hard to be an activist when you're doing such minor things. People are already trying to shut you down. So do you have any advice of what I could do to try to stop the haters, I guess?
See, I said I wasn't going to name call, but those people are idiots, okay? They're idiots. And I'm not talking about the ones that support our current president. I'm talking about the ones that harass you because of who you are and because of what you stand for. Those are idiots. They are considered idiots, okay? You have, and they have, a right to support anybody they want to. But don't try to take away from you your right to be who you are. And I think that's part of our problem here is you have people that want everybody to look the same way and have the same religion and the same income and the same. And we don't. We don't have that. And it's diverse. And so they need to let you be who you are. And you can't be concerned with the haters. If I was concerned with the people that said that my son deserved what he got, I wouldn't be standing here on the sitting here on the stage. I would be in my room, but those are not your supporters. There are some people that support what you who you are. Yeah. And I just see how your innocence and how precious your life is. And I hope you can see the same thing. And just continue to be you. Don't let anybody define who you are. You be you. Don't worry about your haters around you. Don't worry about that. Get you a good education. Do the positive things that your parents are telling you to do. Live a good life. Have fun while you're 13. You know, you just got your whole life in front of you. And then I want you to think about how you can make changes in this country to make this a better world. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Ms. Fulton. My name is Adrian Munz. I want to thank you for speaking to us tonight. I really enjoyed your discussion. Oh, geez. So my question for you is, I work in the correctional setting. I work primarily with individuals who actually have a history of gun violence or just violent histories in general. And I spend a lot of my time trying to help them strategically plan stable reentry back into the community. Given what you've said earlier today, I was wondering if you had any specific feedback that you might like me to take back to them.
Oh, God, that's a hard question. This is somebody who has shot and killed someone, and now they're going back into society. Is that what you said?
So I work with some pretrial felons. I work with people that are specifically in the county. Some people have local charges. It's a little... I work at Wayne County Jail, so I have an abundance of people that I work with. And the primary function of my job is not to try to work on stabilization and putting them back into society with reentry, but I do spend my spare time working on that because I do want them to be able to go back into the community and to be stable and them not come back in and out of the system. So I was just curious if you had any feedback for me as someone who's more youthful and also in corrections, since you mentioned it earlier, what you might want me to tell them when I retire.
You're saying they shot and killed somebody? Is that yes or no?
So several individuals that I work with have shot people as pretrial felons and with higher level offenses. So,
okay,
yeah.
So number one, they have to think about what they've done to the person that they shot or killed. and that family that surrounds them, because mm-hmm. I'm on the other end. I'm on the victim's end. Mm-hmm. And so you on the shooter's end, right?
I would be somewhere in the middle. I would.
Okay. I would just tell them to think about what they've done. And, okay. and you know, you can make a mistake, but that's an irreparable mistake that they've made. And they need to think about that constantly. You know, that mm-hmm. family. I don't know if it's any restorations that they can do mm-hmm. to the family, but they certainly need to think about what they've done so that they don't make the same mistakes again.
So my last portion to the question is, for individuals who are currently using guns or they feel that there's a specific need given the geographical areas that they're located, what would you say that you recommend that I tell them as a deterrent from using guns or just having gun violence in general within the urban communities or even suburban communities?
You got some hard questions.
I'm sorry.
I don't know the answer to your question. I have no clue what I would tell those. Ma'am, can you help, please?
Thank you for your questions. Those are great questions. This man in the front.
Good evening, Ms. Fulton. You lost one son in exchange for hundreds and thousands of other black sons. And I would like to thank you for being a mother to us black sons, or your black sons here. I would ask for advice specifically to the black male youth today, being that we're facing so much. More than I've seen or read about ever before.
As you know, this is not a new issue. It's just an issue that we have brought more awareness to. This has been going on forever. And so I don't want people to think that the issue that happened, the tragedy that happened with my son, was new. By any means, it was not new. It's just that it was brought to the forefront and people were able to see who America really is and what's really going on in America. I speak, you know, all over the country, and people actually did not think that this type of situation was still happening here in the United States. And so we can give you all the information that's needed. We can tell you drive with your hands at 10 and 2. We can tell you don't reach for your license. Don't reach for the car registration. We can tell you to abide by whatever the police officer says. We can tell you all the right things to say and do, but we also have to tell you the flip side of the coin, which is there may be somebody on the other end of the gun that's perceiving you to be somebody who you're not. And so it's about perception. The stand your ground law that was used up into the trial was about perception. But you have to know that that law is not applied fairly on African Americans. Because if Trayvon Martin had shot someone that night, and Trayvon was 28 and the person was 17, and Trayvon had a loaded gun and the person dead on the ground had drinks and candy, Trayvon would be in jail right now. We gotta know that. And so I understand that a lot of young people are probably afraid that you are going to be shot and killed. Not only do you have to worry about the police, but you have to worry about other African Americans. You have to worry about other people in your community. You have to worry about people that's robbing and stealing or just want to do harm for you because of the color of your skin. You have to worry about that. And I understand that. But what you need to do is try to live your life as best you can without all of those negative thoughts. You know, you still have to get your education. You still want to be around your family. You still want to do those things that make you happy. Don't let what's going on right now take away from your life. We want you to live your life, and we want you to live your life abundantly. But at the same time, just be mindful of what's going on. But enjoy life. I thank you for coming up here, and just I thank you.
Thank you.
Two more. Okay.
My name is Joshua. I'm learning English. Sometimes my English can be tough. My question was, how long should it take to you to forgive that man? 10 years, 15 years, or how long?
There is no time. There's no time frame, because nobody can tell me how long it's going to take to heal my heart. Nobody could tell me that. That's the same information that the moms in this front row absolutely know. Because you do have some moms that have forgiven the person that shot and killed their child. I can honestly say I'm not there yet. And so I'm in no rush. Nobody can't tell me, oh, it's been 5 years, you should be at that point. Nobody can walk that walk. It's only me, and it's only up to my thinking and my heart and how I feel about the situation. There is no time frame to your healing, because I have to carry this. Mom, shake your head. I have to carry this every day of my life. And so nobody is going to force me to forgive anybody. Nobody is going to force me to think that I should feel guilty when I cry. It's just a matter of an individual thought process. And so there is no time period. I cannot tell you that if somebody says that their son was killed 10 years ago or their daughter was shot 10 years ago, that you should be. No, you cannot do. You cannot tell them a time period. It's in their own time, in your own time, in your own time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And our final question.
Hello, my name is Justin Black. I'm a freshman at Western Michigan University. And part of my passion and my goal in life is to make a difference in my community as well as this country. But when I hear about stories about what happened to your son and other young African-American males or other black people in the country, period, I kind of lose faith in what I want to do and bring change in this country. And I feel like there's no point sometimes. So what can I do to stay motivated and keep pushing forward?
You have to live your life. You cannot just watch with the negative things that are going on around you. You have to continue living your life. You say you're in high school?
Oh, freshman at Western Michigan.
You look young. That means you're living a good life. But I would just say live your life. Enjoy life. You know, how old are you?
I'm 19.
I wish that I could go back to 19. I mean, you probably still have so many fresh ideas, but don't let the smoke that's going on around you cloud your vision. Just know that you can still have a good and full life. I know it looks dark. It looks ugly. Some things even look disgusting. But I want you to live your life, and I don't want you to be affected by what's going on around you. I want you to be aware but not affected, okay? I just want you to enjoy your life. Get your education, get you a good job, find you a nice lady in that order. Have kids, you know, just enjoy life. Make your parents proud. Just live life. Just enjoy who you are. Just enjoy. Look at all these people. This is the family. This is your family in here. You know, just enjoy your life at 19. My God, thank you. Thank you.
Well, everyone, thank you for your questions. And we are going to end here. But if we can give a round of applause to Ms. Sabrina Fulton.
Thank you. I'm gonna thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm gonna leave you with two things. I'm gonna leave you with an action item. And that action item is to do your part. Whatever your part is, your part might be signing a petition or creating a petition. Your part might be registering people to vote. Your part might be driving people to the polls. Your part might be joining a board, a nonprofit organization board. Your part might be giving to that same board, writing a newsletter. Whatever your part is, do something. Don't continue to not do anything. Do something. And then finally, I'm going to leave you with my favorite Bible verse. It's in the book. Mm-hmm. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Thank you, and God bless you.
Before we leave, I just would like us to thank the Lee Honors College at Western Michigan University for bringing Miss Sabrina Fulton here. The dean, where is he? Raise your hand so people could see you. Okay, and also the associate dean over here. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
And get home safe.